This weekend, we celebrate Respect Life Sunday, and we hear in the gospel that the apostles trying to run a bunch of children off so they can't get to Jesus. But Christ welcomes the children, and he embraces them. And so I think a good question for us to ask is what did our Lord see in these children that the apostles may not have been able to see? You know, each and every person, you know, each one of us, from the moment of our creation, reflects the goodness of God our Creator in some unique way. And we do so in a way that no other human being can or does. You know, every single person is absolutely unique and irreplaceable. Now, other things in our world aren't like that. You know, no one cries if a blade of grass dies. You just plant a new blade of grass and it looks just like the old one. You know, one blade is as good as another. You know, if a plant dies, you just get another plant to replace it. And it might look slightly different, but it's close enough. But human life isn't that way. You can't just replace people and say, oh, well, he's not here. Someone else can just, you know, fill in his spot. Human beings are not that way because every single human being is unique. And we can see this if we look at the saints. You know, every single saint has lived a life of heroic goodness and virtue, but they do so in very different ways. You know, St. John Paul II or Mother Teresa were two very different individuals, and they reflected different attributes of God and his goodness, and they lived in different circumstances. And there's saints that come from every different period of history and every walk of life, and each within in their own way reflects and brings the goodness of God into the world. And every one of us is called to be a saint, to manifest the goodness of God in a way that's entirely unique and different from every other human being that's ever been created. And so when we look at Respect Life, you know, respecting life involves a number of things. It certainly involves us pushing for an end to abortion and euthanasia within our country because these are attacks against the innocence of life. It involves providing support for women who are pregnant in difficult situations. And it involves healing ministries for those who have been affected by an abortion. You know, all those are part of Respect Life. You know, Archbishop Cordiglione from San Francisco, he's calling for Catholics to pray a rosary every week and fast on Fridays for the conversion of the Speaker of the House, because the majority of our representatives in this country are pushing for a very radical pro-abortion agenda. They want government funding for abortion, and they want all restrictions removed so that it would be codified that there's free access to abortion. So the Archbishop is asking for prayer and fasting for a conversion of the heart of the Speaker of the House and our representatives. And so that's part of the pro-life movement. But being pro-life also involves welcoming life into our parish and into each one of our families. Our parish and all Catholic parishes throughout the world should be growing. You know, our parish should be bursting at the seams. And it should be bursting at the seams in part from converts, people coming to discover Christ and to love him and to serve him. But a large part of the growth of Catholic parishes should be children. We should be having large families, and the church should be expanding and continually growing. And that's part of the sacrament of holy matrimony. When a man and a woman, before they make their marriage vows in the ceremony, the priest or deacon questions them, and they make a public promise that they will accept children lovingly as a gift from God. And so that openness to life is part of our understanding of what the sacrament of holy matrimony is. We're in a situation now in a lot of dioceses within this part of the country where we have to restructure our parishes. And that's called, you know, we're doing it through the Beacons of Light program. And it's a response in part to the reality that there's fewer priests now than there have been in the past. But a large part of it is the number of faithful has plummeted. You know, churches that were once packed are now only at 20 or 30% of their capacity. And so a question for us to ask is, what has gone wrong? You know, our parishes need to be increasing, not decreasing. So what's happened in the past 50 years that's led to this problem? You know, one of the major factors, and many would argue the number one factor that has led to this problem that we're in today, is the widespread use of artificial contraception. You know, if families are open to life, our parish is going to be blessed and it's going to flourish. And we do have a small wave of baptisms that's coming to our parish in the coming months, which is absolutely beautiful and wonderful. But you know, when contraception and the contraceptive mentality takes hold, you know, it's an attitude that tries to restrict the gift of life and prevent the conception of children. And the reality is, those children are the future of our families. They're the future of our parishes, and they're the future of our country. And if we stop life before it begins, then our parishes and our church and our nation are going to wither and die. And that's what's happening. And so, you know, contraception attacks the very origin of life. And so there's two things that are going on with contraception. And the first is that it's prevented the new life that makes our church flourish. And the second is the damage that that does to our families. The family unit is sacred. The church calls the family the domestic church. It's within the family that children are first, they experience the faith, they learn how to pray, they learn what authentic love means from the example of their mothers and fathers. And so we have to be very careful that we don't allow bad things into our family unit. We have to protect the sacredness of the family. And what happens with contraception is it turns mothers and fathers against openness to life, which means it turns them against the will of God for their family. And so it brings sin into the family unit, and it turns mothers and fathers against the will of God. We need mothers and fathers who are working in accord with the will of God in order for the grace of God to flourish within our families. And so contraception hurts the family, A, because it prevents life, but B, because it turns families against the will of God. And so an openness to life orients a married couple's life in a very different direction. It orients their life in a path of generosity, of self-sacrifice for the sake of love, for bringing new life into the world. And it orients them towards seeking the will of God for their family. And that's what our families need to flourish. And that's what the church needs in order to flourish. Now, the church recognizes that realistically there can be some serious situations that can come along where parents may need to postpone pregnancy. You know, there could be health reasons, for example, the health of the mother. And the church does allow natural family planning in serious situations, which is a way of respecting the God-given cycles of fertility and infertility within marriage. And so it's still cooperating with God's plan rather than contraception, which simply prevents conception and interferes with God's plan for marriage. And so as we celebrate Respect Life Sunday, it's important for us to be pro-life in the fullest sense of the word. It means more than simply being against abortion and euthanasia, although that is part of it. It means praying for a conversion of hearts, that people who are advancing a culture of death may have a conversion to the sacredness of life. But it also means that we believe that every human life, each one of us, is absolutely sacred and irreplaceable, and that every human life should be welcomed with love, and that conception is not something that we should seek to avoid, but something that we should embrace with love.